If you want to live a life that's unaffected by love, somebody just said it's like being in a casket, that it's a safe place, it's a motionless place, and it's an airless place. And you can't go through life without love unless you want to just close yourself off from everything else.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series titled Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 7.
It's good to know that the Lord truly will supply all of our needs. You know, I think sometimes the older we get, the more needs that we have. And I was reading an article, and it talked about hymns for people who are over 50 years old. And as they sang that song, you know, I thought about the different needs that you have once you turn 50. And one of the hymns was just a slower walk with thee. Another one was, it is well with my soul, but my knees hurt. Nobody knows the trouble I have seen. Where's my glasses at now? Oh, precious Lord, take my hand and help me up. I like this one right here. Blessed insurance. And I had this happen to me. If you've ever been downtown and you've been in one of those garages downtown and you don't look before you get on the elevator, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, I've forgotten where I parked my car. That's a terrible feeling, man. That's one reason I hate going downtown, man. You get in them garages, and I'm good now. I always make sure I remember the color, and I try to remember the floor, because I remember one time I got on the elevator, and I forgot to look at the floor that I was on. I must have walked around the garage for about an hour before I found my car. So, God will supply all of my needs. Amen. What a blessing it is to know that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, as we conclude with this passage of scripture, and we'll be moving on to something new. This is actually part 6 as we look at the last verse, and we've said a lot of things about love. And in verse 13, Paul talks about here the preeminence of love. He says in verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. To love is to be vulnerable. You know, we've often heard the expression, it's better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all. And I believe that what the author of that statement was trying to communicate is the fact that when you open yourself up in love, that you are vulnerable. If you want to live a life that's unaffected by love, somebody just said it's like being in a casket, that it's a safe place, it's a motionless place, and it's an airless place. And you can't go through life without love unless you want to just close yourself off from everything else. As a matter of fact, somebody said the only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers of love is hell. Anytime you open yourself up to love, you open yourself up for heartbreak. Even in the church, there are situations that we come across where we open ourselves up and the potential for heartbreak is there. I don't know about any of you, but I remember the first time growing up as a teenager when I was heartbroken. And that is a terrible, terrible feeling. I guess I'm the only one in here, huh? But y'all didn't date as teenagers, y'all didn't have anybody special in your life that let you down and broke your heart? Pastor Glaze is the only one, huh? Okay, all right. All right, we're going to have Brother Russell when I leave afterwards. We're going to have a confession time up front. All right. All right, but you know, that's a terrible feeling. And you know, when it comes to the church, sometimes when we as saints come into the family of God and we get into fellowships with one another, there is a potential for hurt because we've opened ourselves up in love. And Paul realizes that. And Paul lets us know in 1 Corinthians 13 that we need to work on love. You know, as I think about the fact that, you know, the church really is a place where you should be able to come and find love and find encouragement and find support. But you know what? The church is also a place, and I'm just going to be honest with you, and I found out it's just not Bethany now. You know, I'm talking about churches. There was only one perfect church that I ever belonged to. One perfect church. When I first got saved, I tell you what, man, I know once again I'm exaggerating now. But you know, when I first got saved, when I was in college, I joined this church. And as I shared before, my wife and I, we were the only minorities in the church. And man, the people just loved us and invited us over their house for dinner. And, you know, we had fellowships at their house. And man, I tell you what, my perception of Christianity was just one that was so overwhelmingly joyful that it was just unbelievable. And then as I began to move on from that church, and once again, I don't know, you know, I guess maybe I was immune, or maybe they hid all the issues that came up and I never, you know, experienced them. But as I moved on to other churches now, I got to say that I haven't I haven't had the same experience now. I just haven't had it. And then after I left there, I found out that they had some issues too. So, you know, there's no perfect church. If there is a perfect church and you think that you join it, then you're going to go mess it up. So it's not going to be perfect anymore. But you know what, you know, when you come to the church, you know, sometimes it is a place where you can get hurt. You know, there was a article that talked about bloopers in the church. And one of the things that as I read through this, you know, I not only saw, you know, some funny anecdotes, but I also saw the potential for people getting wounded in the church. One of the things in the church bulletin said, ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Don't forget your husbands. Another one said, the peacemaking meeting scheduled for today has been canceled due to a conflict. Now, so here goes one right here that, you know, I might get offended by if somebody did this one. Barbara remains in the hospital and needs blood donors for more transfusions. She is also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Pastor Jack's sermons. Here goes one right here. Don't let worry kill you. Let the church help. Now, you know, I thank God that we got, you know, I praise God for the music here at Bethany Baptist Church. Because it's some, you know, blessed music. We are blessed by the music here at Bethany Baptist Church. So this right here is another church that we're talking about. At the evening service tonight, the sermon will be, "What is Hell? Come early and listen to our choir practice." The potential. See, once again, there's a great potential for conflict in the church. And there's a lot of them here. Let me, this last one. Now, see, this is a very sensitive one, too. So, you know, once again, things like this happen in the church. People say things that, you know, hurt and wound other people. Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church. please use the large double doors at the side entrance. See, once again, great potential in the body of Christ for harm. And I did all that to prove a point. And the point that I'm trying to prove is that unless we are saturated with this love that Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 13, that we're going to have a hard time moving past issues when people say things to offend us, when people do things that offend us, that if we're not nurtured and we're not grounded in love, we're going to have a very, very difficult time being able to deal with those situations. And so Paul lets us know that love is the preeminent thing. As we look at and review our outlines from the last couple of weeks, you know, the first thing that we saw that there are four types of love, and you should know these by now because I've been hitting them every week, all right? The first type of love that we see is eros, which is a erotic or sexual love, the love between a man and a woman, that type of erotic or sexual love. The second one is storge, which is that sense of belonging, a family type of love. The third one is phileo, which would be a brotherly or friendship love. And then finally, we see the one that Paul was talking about here in 1 Corinthians 13 is agape, which is a sacrificial love. The outline of 1 Corinthians, as we have looked at it, we see, first of all, verses 1 through 3, the power of love, 4 through 7, the performance of love, 8 through 12, the permanence of love, and then as we come to verse 13, we see the preeminence of love, the preeminence of love. And Paul lets us know, first of all, that there are three spiritual virtues that he ends this chapter with. The three spiritual virtues that he ends this chapter with are found in verse 13, and he says, "And now abideth faith, hope, and love." He lets us know that as he concludes this wonderful discourse on love, that there are three virtues that are strong in the Christian faith. Oh, that's not to say there are not other virtues, but he highlights these three. And the first one, he says, is faith. Now, there is a little controversy here as to what type of faith Paul is talking about. And so I've listed the three views in the notes that you have. One is saving faith. And that is the faith that it takes when you come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That whenever you come and you place your faith in Christ for salvation, that is the faith that it takes to save you. Someone said that's the kind of faith that Paul was referring to here. A second type of faith that someone has said would be faith that refers to spiritual gifts, to believe God to work miracles. That's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, where Paul talks about the gifts, and he says that there are gifts of miracles, and there are gifts of healings, and there are gifts of faith. And so in that category, some people say, well, Paul was talking about here this supernatural ability to be able to trust God to do a miracle. And then a final view says that faith here refers to the ability to believe and trust God. Just that simple childlike faith where, as we've heard testimonies up here on this platform this morning, people saying that I needed such and such a thing and I had to trust God for it. And so that is a type of faith that could be referred to. So, you know, as I look at it, I would have a tendency to lean more towards the second one. However, I wouldn't rule out the other two. So with that said, I'm going to say that, you know, all three can actually be in play, even though I would lean very heavily to the second one. He says faith, and then he says hope. And what is hope? Hope is the ability to look forward in confident expectation. That when we look forward to God doing something in our lives, that we have hope, that we have a belief that what God has promised, he is able to perform. So we see Paul says, and you know what? You need these in your life. You need to have faith in your life. Whether you might not be a person that has the gift of faith, that is the ability to trust God to do supernatural things, but you should have some faith in your life. You should have a saving faith in your life, and you should have a trusting faith in your life. All of us should have hope. You know, I tell you what, I got hope. You know, sometimes you go through situations and you got to believe somewhere that things are going to get better. You know, they can't stay like this always. Something got to change here. You know, I praise God for my wife. You know, I praise God for my wife. You know, we had my grandkids all day yesterday. All day. And you know what? My wife loves my grandkids. I believe my wife does more for our grandkids than anybody else does for them. And she loves our grandkids. I mean, she'll go stop by on her way home from work just to see her grandkids. She'll go before she goes to bed at night. She will call them and say goodnight to them on the phone. She loves the grandkids. But I believe somewhere around 4 or 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon, there was some hope there. You know, that tag team, right? You ever see a tag team wrestling? You can go tag and somebody else come and take over for this. There was hope. There was hope. And I left when I left yesterday to come over here to the Christ in the Passover last night, which was wonderful. My wife said, "Are you praying for me?" I said, "Amen, amen." So there was that hope, that trusting expectation that something is going to change in this situation. And you know, that's the way that we should be in our lives. You know, one thing I realized that even if it doesn't get any better on this side, that I'm going to leave this earth one day and I'm going to glory. And that's my hope, that even no matter what my struggles are right now, no matter what I'm going through right now, you know, I'm not going to be here forever. Somebody said, "Well, what's your favorite verse?" And I said, "It came to pass." And they said, "Well, why is that your favorite verse?" Because thank God it didn't come to stay. And that's hope. That's hope that things are going to get better. You may be, as Brother Aaron was sharing this morning, you know, dealing with different situations, looking forward to things. But you know, you got to have a hope as you look ahead that there is a God and that God will work things out. Paul said there are three virtues that he concludes this chapter with: faith, hope. As powerful as faith is, as powerful as hope is, Paul said, the greatest one of these is love. Love, this self-sacrificial, these self-sacrificial expressions where we reach out to others in love. You know, there was a little girl who had lost her arm, and it devastated her, and for 9 months, she didn't go to school. She didn't even come to church. And when she got ready to come back to church, the mother went to talk to the Sunday school teacher and told the Sunday school teacher that if you could be sensitive, you know, she's really sensitive to this, and it just, you know, things that come up, and, you know, if anything reference comes, you know, it would just devastate her. And so the Sunday school teacher tried to be sensitive and was. And 1 week, the Sunday school teacher wasn't going to be there and had a substitute come. And the Sunday school teacher forgot to tell the substitute to be sensitive to the little girl and her issues. And as they began to conclude the Sunday school hour, the substitute teacher stood up and said, "Now we're going to replicate the church." And we all know that one right there where we say, this is the church and this is the steeple. Open the door and see all the people. And he said, "That's what we're going to do." And as he began to say what they were going to do, the little girl began to cry because she didn't have a hand to be able to do it. One little boy in the class who was sensitive to the young lady's situation came over, sat beside her, grabbed her hand, and as the teacher went through it, he had one hand and she had the other hand. "This is the church. This is the steeple. Open the door and see all the people." See, love reaches out when others are hurting. Love is sensitive to the needs of those around us. Love says that I don't want to let my brother or my sister go through this alone. Yeah, you know, at that time, faith was good if the little boy had faith. It was good. At that time, hope was good. But what did that little girl need more than anything else? She needed somebody to sense her pain. She needed somebody to feel what she was going through. She needed somebody who would reach down, kneel beside her, and give her a hand in that situation. My brothers and sisters, that's love. That's what the church is all about today. Paul said, now abides faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these, the greatest of these, the greatest thing you can do is not trust God for a Cadillac. The greatest thing you can do is not hope for a new house. The greatest thing that you can do is to love, is to show love. If we want to really be like God and reflect God's character, that we reflect God's character like no other time when we are demonstrating love in the body of Christ. Three spiritual virtues. And then he says the supreme virtue. And I just want to go through this real quick. Four reasons why love is the greatest. Four reasons why love is the greatest. Reason number one. And I just sat down and began to think about this. Reason number one. Why is love greater than anything else as far as these virtues are concerned? Love is greater because hope and faith are expressions of love. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. He says here about love. Love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. All right. In your notes, when you look at that word faith, what's the Greek word right there in the notes for faith? Pistis. All right. Hey. Guess what? Guess what? Where it says believe all things. Guess what that Greek word is? You don't have to be a Greek scholar to tell me that. I didn't set it up for you. What's that Greek word? Pistis. All right. Amen. We got Greek scholars in here this morning. All right. He says, beareth all things, believeth all things, and look, we got the word what? Hope. Hopeth all things. Where does faith and hope come from? Comes out of love. So that's one reason why love is greater than faith and hope, because faith and hope come out of love. They are expressions of love. The second thing, love is greater than faith and hope because faith and hope will not be as significant in eternity. I got faith in God right now. But one day I'm not going to need to have a greatest faith that I have now. Why? Because I'm going to see him face to face. I'm hoping in my life that one day things will get better. But even if they don't get better, when I get the glory, I won't need to hope anymore. Because the full manifestation of what I hope for will be a reality. So long after notice I didn't say that faith and hope will not be in existence. I just said they won't be as significant in glory. What are you going to have to trust God for in heaven? What are you going to have to trust him for? You're going to have everything you need. What are you going to have to hope for in heaven? When you get the glory, what are you going to be hoping for? Everything I need, I'm going to be totally fulfilled. You know, sometimes I think we cheapen heaven by trying to put tags on it and try to describe what heaven would be like. My brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. Paul said, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the hearts of men, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. And the psalmist said, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand is pleasures forevermore. What in the world are we going to need when we get to heaven? We don't need faith necessarily. We don't need hope, but we still going to have what? Love. God is going to love us, and we're going to love God in heaven. Paul said, now abideth these, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 7. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 7, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 7. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Techniques to Becoming a Great Lover, Part 7. Part 7, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.